Chapter 13. Lexi was up at the crack of dawn after another sleepless night. The presence of the police car outside her house gave her some peace of mind, but the real reason for her insomnia was the button. Finally, she had the clue she had been looking for, the one that would lead her to Kevin's killer. Now, all she had to do was figure out whose it was. She fed Sprinkles, giving her an extra treat for finding the button, then jumped in the shower. She had a full day ahead of her and couldn't waste any time. Her first stop would be Nan's, so she could show the button to the Ladies' Detective Club. 45 minutes later, she found herself seated at the usual round table in the retirement center, telling the women about the previous night's events. The button sat in the center of the table, four bluish-gray heads bent forward to inspect it.
"It's a lovely button," Ruth said.
"I can't say if it's a man's or a woman's," Ida added.
"It looks like it would come from an expensive blazer or dress," Helen said.
"Lexi," said Nans, "close your eyes and think back to the wake. Do you remember seeing anyone with a jacket that had these buttons?"
Lexi closed her eyes, trying to picture Kevin's wake in her mind's eye. Images of people floated through her mind, but she didn't see the button on any clothing. She probably wouldn't have noticed something like that anyway.
"Oh, look," Nans pointed at the big screen television on the other side of the room. "Isn't that Kevin's brother, Jason, on TV?"
Lexi turned to look. It was Jason, standing at a podium giving some sort of speech. That wasn't anything out of the ordinary. He was the deputy mayor, so he was often seen on TV. Lexi was about to turn away. Then something on the TV caught her eye. She stood, running over to the giant television. Her eyes grew wide. She turned to the women at the table, feeling her cheeks flush with excitement.
"I think I know who the killer is."
She grabbed her purse, gave Nans a quick hug, and rushed toward the door. As she hit the door at full speed, she heard Nan's panicked voice calling after her.
"Lexi, wait! Don't do anything dangerous on your own."
"Kevin sent me something in the mail. It's a notebook," Lexi whispered into her cell phone.
"Do you have it? What does it say?"
The familiar voice on the other end asked.
"It's in code, so I don't know what it means. Looks like some dates and garbled words."
She heard an audible sigh through the phone.
"Can you bring it to me? I'd like to take a look at it."
Lexi heard an edge of anxiety creep into the voice.
"Sure."
She crossed her fingers behind her back. She didn't actually have the book anymore, but she had a plan to get a confession from the killer, and the plan would only work if they met in person.
"Okay, meet me at my house in 20 minutes.
The voice on the other end said breathlessly into the phone. Lexi snapped the phone shut. She rummaged in her glove compartment, pulling out a small tape recorder she kept to record any recipe ideas she might have, and she slid it into her purse. A taped confession always worked on TV, so she couldn't see why it wouldn't work for her. She found a little notebook in the back of her car that would work as a decoy. Finally, she pulled a can of pepper spray from under her seat, just in case things got ugly. Nan's warning rang in her head. She should call Jack, but she knew he wouldn't approve of her plan, and she couldn't wait any longer for the case to be solved so that her bakery could be open again. She was almost out of savings and needed to be earning money in order to pay her bills. Calling Jack would only slow things down. Her decision made, she turned her cell phone off, then double-checked her purse for the tape recorder, notebook, and pepper spray. Satisfied everything was in order, she put her car in gear and drove off toward her destination.